I hope, got a little frog in my throat here. I hope my prayer actually has been that this week has been one that has been edifying for you, one that has been good for you, for your kids, for your grandkids, for those who are able to come and participate. And this morning, we want to take a look, not just at children, but at scripture, that things in life that can maybe draw us back to God's word. Different things that you might use on a regular basis, whether you're a kid going back to school, whether you're an adult, either way. And this past week, we got to see the kids on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday participating in VBS. And that was a lot of fun, and getting to see the kids, getting to sing with the kids. I got to do some singing with the kids this year. And that was a lot of fun, and I enjoy those kids very much. And they seem to have a very good time on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then yesterday we had this wonderful back-to-school bash and gave away backpacks, which is really kind of the center of the lesson today. And really wanted to be an encouragement to each of those families. And I believe, again, we were. I think that opened lots and lots of doors. We had lots of good things going on yesterday. But really the whole point of VBS, the whole point of a back-to-school bash, is to encourage people to grow spiritually. We want to be disciples who make disciples. Yes, we want to have a good time, and we want people to have a good time. But it's more than having a good time. We want to make sure Jesus becomes the center of all of these things and draw people closer to Jesus in the process. So we're going to begin by talking about school. Let me take you back to my day when I was in school. We had the best desks. We had the most modern technology. And we had the best yearbook pictures that you could find. I'm a child of the early 80s, the late 70s. And we knew how to do hair. And we knew how to hide for a nuclear attack under our desk. We were proficient at those things. And in my day, of course, I love to say this because it's so funny, because now I'm old enough to actually say it and be real. I had to walk to school. If you lived less than a mile from the school, the way it was when we were in Wisconsin, if you lived less than a mile from school, there wasn't a school bus. You had to walk to school. And I would tell you that Pennsylvania, you can literally walk to school both ways uphill. I mean, you have that ability to do that here in Pennsylvania. And you can do it in the snow if it's wintertime. And so kids today, I'm just telling you, you're missing out on some of the great things that your parents or your grandparents had. So technology has changed and life has changed a little bit. And we're going to use some things to get started to help us with a spiritual lesson. Now, it all begins with a backpack. Now, we gave away these backpacks yesterday, and there are many things that were put inside those backpacks. And I am not going back to school, obviously, but I will tell you, I may not have a backpack. I have a laptop bag that goes with me, which is really no different. It's the adult version of the backpack. That's all that it is. Okay? And I have to have certain things in my back, in my laptop bag, hence a laptop. That's pretty good. A power cord. I need that. Reading glasses, because I can't see my laptop if I don't have my reading glasses on. My commentaries I have in here. A jump drive so that I can put all my stuff together. I have to pack my laptop bag whenever I'm going back and forth between the church office and my house so that I have everything with me where I need it at that time. The whole point of a backpack, is to be able for kids to have with them when they're going to and from school all the things that they need to take with them when they're going to and from school. Now, I am saying, learn from me, don't copy me. Okay? Backpacks were not a big thing. Book bags were not a big thing when I was in, especially in grade school. Well, they were. I wasn't a book person. I didn't like homework, so I figured if I didn't take it home, then it wouldn't be homework. So it was easy for me to say, oh, I left it at school. And again, I'm not saying copy me. I'm just telling you why I didn't have this beautiful backpack when I was in school. I did have a book bag, though. And when we went into high school, we had drawstring book bags. At least I did when I was in high school. The worst thing was when I was in grade school, we were given in the summertime or at the end of the previous school year, all the books we needed for the next school year. I don't know if any of you had to do this. We had brown paper bags that we would have to kind of cut apart and wrap all around our books to protect those books, okay? And then the first day you went to school, you had 45 pounds that you were taking to school with you of wrapped books that just sat in that beautiful desk that you saw a picture of that I never took out again. But there are things that we put in, that we ask people to put into this book bag, that I just want to share with you. The whole point of having a book bag is to have the essentials that you need. There is an essential that I don't care if you're going to work with a laptop bag. I don't care if you're going to school with a book bag or however you go. There is an essential that you do need. That essential is this. I'm going to just tell you right now, as Alan was talking about, we live in a world that really doesn't care about the Bible. I mean, it just doesn't. But you and I know that the essential for our life is God's Word. So sometimes we can take it just on a device. I have a Bible. I've got tons of Bibles on this particular phone, different translations of it. When I pack my bag, obviously I work at a church, but when I pack my bag to go back and forth, I always put my Bible in that bag because even though I have Bibles at home and I have Bibles in my office, I have my Bible. And I know that on the upper left-hand corner is going to be that spot that I'm looking for because it's there in my head. So I need my Bible versus somebody else's Bible. Carrying God's Word with you, whether it's physically or whether it's in your heart, is something that is absolutely essential, no matter what age you are. I want to take you to a passage in Psalm chapter 119. It's a really long psalm. But in Psalm chapter 119, God tells this. And I took it from the New Living, so I'm going to turn around and read it here. It says, how can a young person stay pure? That's his question. And he answers that question, the psalmist does, says, by obeying your word. That's how it happens. And he goes on to say, I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against it. I really don't care what age you are, from our youngest kids to our oldest adults. Spending time in God's word is an absolute essential, okay? And it's not just put it in your backpack. And maybe you don't take it to school. And I'm not saying you have to do that or take it to work. I'm not saying you have to do that. I am saying you have to have it in your heart. And you can't have it in your heart if you don't spend any time in it. So the only way to do that is to put God's word into your heart. It is beneficial for many people to start their day with a little bit of scripture or a devotional that brings in scripture. Sometimes people use a Bible app to help them do that. When my older kids were in high school, we would get up in the morning and I would fix them their breakfast and we would spend time reading and studying our Bible. And you say, well, you're a preacher's family. Of course you did that. That was my kids' decision, not my decision. My younger kids, we played games before going to school. We played a lot of cribbage and other things. We would get up in the morning, I would fix in their breakfast, and we would spend time together, but we always prayed before they went to school. But having God's word in your heart is an absolute essential. Because without it, you will find yourself not knowing what the right thing to do is. In fact, the psalmist says, I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. The only way that's going to happen is if you know the commands. I mean, that's the only way it's going to happen. So he really centers on how important God's word is. And so it has to become that important to our life also. So we have our backpacks to help us remember what we need to do, carry God's word or have God's word with us all the time. But what are some things that you put in your backpack? Well, in this handy dandy backpack, we have got a pen and an unsharpened pencil, which doesn't do me a whole lot of good. But we've got a pen and a pencil, okay? Writing utensils. Those writing utensils, I always, and again, now my kids are grown and I have grandkids, they laugh at me, they'll say, does anybody have something to write with? And they'll turn, dad's always got something in his pocket. And I do, I carry a, if I have a shirt with a pocket in it, I have a pen in that pocket. It just is part of getting up in the morning. It's like combing your hair, put a pen in your pocket. I don't know how it goes together, but it does. But I always have it because I know that there's so many things I need to be writing down that are important, that come up during the day, that I need something to write them down with. And I carry paper with me. And again, I know I'm pretty old school. Everybody can do it with their thumbs. I literally cannot. I take my phone and punch one finger at a time. But my kids can do that, or they can just swipe and make all of these things on their notepads. But I take out a pen and paper and I write down my notes. And those notes are important because they help me to remember what I need to be doing, or they are a note that I want to be passing on to somebody else. I am not saying write notes in school. That's not what I just said. But a way of communicating maybe to my teacher, my homework, you know, having those things written down is an important thing to do. When Paul was traveling, not everybody knew Paul. You would have thought he would have been the most well-known person, but not everybody did. In part because disciples were making disciples who were making disciples. So there were a lot of people in the first century world that became a Christian that never knew when Paul was wandering around Asia Minor or wandering around the Mediterranean world. They didn't get a chance to see him. But Paul wanted to make sure that they understood who they were. And they had this strange way of doing things. They would write letters of recommendation, and they would send this letter of recommendation with somebody so that when they got to the place, that the person that would read the letter of recommendation, who would know the name that was written there, could trust the person that brought the letter of recommendation. There are many students who, when they are graduating high school, and they're trying to apply for scholarships, have come to me and said, Mr. Jeffrey, would you write a letter of recommendation for me? And it has been really a privilege to be able to write about some of the young people that I've known over the years. But I want to take you to a passage. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, it's a little bit different up here on the screen. I'm going to put it together for you. It says in verse 1, it says, are we beginning to commend ourselves, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the human heart. Paul says, you are our letter. When I have to write a letter, and I do still write letters, when I'm writing a letter and I'm sending it out to somebody, Paul says, your life is the letter. When people see you, they know what God has been doing in you. In fact, You are a letter. It is as if God wrote his pen on your life. Can you imagine that? You're going to school. You're going to work. You're going to college. God is using you to be a letter to the world. You are God's pen and pencil. And so Paul says, it is only through you, he says, not written on ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. So when you pick up that pen or pencil, maybe you're making a grocery list to go to the store. I don't care what you're doing. The next time you pick up a writing device, think to yourself, I am God's letter, and God's pen is written on me, my heart, and I get to become that to the world. The next thing we have in this backpack that we were given away, or one of the things we had in this backpack that we were giving away, is, this is high polymer, whatever that means, it's an eraser. Now, I will tell you, one of my biggest problems is I write in pen more than I write in pencil. When you write in pen and you make a mistake and you're writing it down, you have two choices. Well, you have three choices. You can scribble it out and keep on writing. I've done that. You can throw away that piece of paper, get another piece of paper, and start all over again. I've done that. And then there was this beautiful invention that came out many years ago called whiteout, and I actually keep several bottles of it. I shouldn't say that, but I have several bottles of it in my desk drawer to white out things where I have, so I don't have to throw away the piece of paper and I can keep on going. An eraser is there because, well, we make a mistake. One of my worst things is spelling. I misspell the word misspell. So, I mean, take it for what it is. And sometimes when you make a mistake, you got to figure out, what do I really want? And I'll tell you what I want more than anything else. I really would love to be able to just erase all of my mistakes that I have made in my life. I would like to be able to stop this feeling from within me of sadness. Because as I grew older, they were no longer mistakes. They were sin. It's what it was. And sin has a consequence. And I wanted more than anything else for my sin to be taken away. But I knew that I couldn't take it away myself. I didn't have an eraser for my soul. There's only one thing that could do that, that could take away the sadness within me and actually allow me to start over again with an absolutely clean slate. And that was Jesus Christ. When John writes, John would say in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to just bring out two verses here. It says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here's the phrase, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And in verse 9, he says something very similar. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. What Jesus does for me, he becomes my spiritual eraser. He is able to do for me the very thing I've wanted. He is able to take all of the mistakes, the sin that I have made in my life, and just wipe them out. So I encourage you to think the next time you pick up an eraser at school or the end of your pencil, or if you're like me, white out, or the backspace on your keyboard. I really would love for you to think, You know, Jesus wants to do that for me. He wants to wipe it all away. He wants to take away all the bad that is within me and allow me to have that clean slate. And the beauty of it, according to John, is even though I am his child and have been born again, I still struggle and I still sin. And John says to me, but Jeffrey, if you are walking in the light, if you are striving to do that which is right, if you are living with a heart of repentance, not saying I just want grace and I'm not going to do anything, but a desire to change and to grow and to become. If I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, I have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. It is a continuous cleansing that is going on. It is like I get to start all the time, not every day, but every moment of every day with a clean board, a clean life. I live before God in a clean way. And that is so hard because I know all the mistakes I make. And when I was in school, I guarantee you, I would run out of eraser before I ran out of pencil. I did, because I was constantly having to erase. Whether it was in mathematics, whether it was in science, whether it was in English, I made so many mistakes. I literally had to go and get a big, now mine was a big pink eraser. I don't know why this one's white, but mine was a big, big pink eraser. And I would have to erase everything that was on my paper, or at least a tremendous amount that were there. The next thing that is in our book bags, to go through these bags, I actually didn't put it in this one, were colored pencils were in the book bag. Now, I am not an artist. I am like the farthest thing from an artist that you could be. I love art, and I love nature beauty. I love seeing God's canvas, if you will. When we have traveled, I enjoy going to art museums. I don't understand modern art, but I do like ancient art. And I've been in many museums where I've had a chance to view beautiful paintings by famous painters over the centuries. I grew up, this is total age thing, I grew up with paint by number, and I loved paint by number. You know why I love paint by number? Because the picture actually looked pretty good when I got done painting the picture. All I had to do was red was 1, blue was 2, green was 3. All I had to do was fill in the right colors, and by the time I got done, you didn't really know that it was a paint by number. It was just the colors that were there and the picture that came from the color. So when you pick up a crayon, when you pick up a colored pencil, and Carrie does this, she really loves their adult coloring books. And she's very talented anyway. But she will do these intricate, beautiful adult coloring books and come up with these gorgeous, gorgeous pictures when she is done. But I want you to think about something when you pick up a crayon. And I'm guessing you know where I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to take you all the way back to the book of Genesis. To Genesis chapter 9. And God is getting ready. God has destroyed, I guess, the earth. And we come to chapter 9. And we come to verse 12. It says, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. Here's verse 13. For I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall become a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring the clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and every living creature of flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it, and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of flesh that is on the earth. I love rainbows. And to some degree, they've almost tried to be stolen from God. But when I see a rainbow outside, I understand the science behind it. And I have had people talk to me about that and say, how could God have made the rainbow? The rainbow is simply the water droplets that are still left in the air after a rain, and the sun is shining through it, and the way the atmosphere does, it paints this, if you will, bow, circle, actually, if you're able to look at it from outside of the earth. But this rainbow that you see, and so it really wasn't God, it's just a matter of science. And I say, I understand that. But did you know that at least as far as biblical history goes, it never rained before the flood? So literally, the very first rainbow came after the flood. So yeah, it's science, but God did it. And when I see that rainbow, what I see is not just the color of the prism. What I see is God is remembering a covenant he has made. And that covenant is so great that he said, I will never again destroy the earth with a flood. I won't do that. It helps me to remember that God keeps his promises. And one of those promises is that Jesus will be my ongoing eraser if I walk in the light as he is in the light. Let me take you to one or two more, I guess. Crayons. Some of us use those colored pen. Oh, we already had the crayons. I just skipped this. So I do have one more. My favorite. It's the lunchbox. I'll tell you why it's my favorite. While I really didn't care about the books in my book bag, I cared tremendously about the food that I was going to eat. That was the highlight of my school day. And when I was younger, I did have a lunchbox. Now, this is one we picked up for our grandson. And what I disliked was, while I took my lunch every day, my mother would often put things inside of it in this thing called Tupperware. You may not have heard of it before. It's a container that can hold the whole world and put it inside this tiny little thing. And I would have soup, and I would have all I wanted was pizza from the cafeteria, but what I got was my lunchbox. And inside my lunchbox, inevitably, was a piece of fruit. And that was the best part of my lunch. Now, I might have had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or I might have had other things, but the fruit was really my favorite thing. Whether it was an apple or an orange, those were the two favorites. A banana, I loved fruit. And I'm sure you can go guess where I'm going with this one. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, Paul would say to the church in churches around Galatia, but the fruit of the Spirit, we can even sing it as a song, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he goes on to say, against such there is no law. I will tell you that even at this point in my life, not all the time, but often when I eat a piece of fruit, I do think of this passage. And it's a great reminder to me. The reminder is not, and I want you to understand this, the reminder is not, I need to produce all of these things. The older I've gotten, the reminder to me is, The fruit is God. It is the fruit of who he is, his being, his essence. God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's who God is. What I get to do is I get to produce God, the fruit of God, to all of those who are around me. I don't create love, joy, and peace. That's God's doing. I get to exude God because that living word inside of me, because of the Spirit of God inside of me, I get to take God with me everywhere I go. That writing that I become is a living example to him. So it just begs the question, what's in your backpack? What's there? What is in your, in my case, a laptop bag? What is it when you go to work? What is it when you throw something into a bag and you put it into your vehicle and you're heading somewhere? What do you have in there? I really don't care what it is. I can pretty much guarantee you this. Every single item in there could give you some type of memory of what God is doing in your life. And that's the encouragement, whether you're going back to school or going back to work. So here's what I'd like to do. If you are a student in school, I'd like you to come on up front. If you're going to college, if you're going to grade school, primary school, if you're going to preschool, if you're a teacher, if you work in the school system in any form of fashion, just come on up. It's going to take forever. Come on up. If you drive a bus, come on up. Come on up. You're a substitute teacher, come on up. Come right in the center here. It'll be easier for me. So this crowd right here is getting ready to do some type of education or going back into education. And what I want us to do, come on up. We've got, keep coming. Or go down to the end of the line, whichever. Yeah, we can only do things in a linear position here. I want to read to you, and then we're going to have a prayer. I want to read to you a blessing over you. And this blessing was given from God to Moses, to Aaron, and Aaron to the people. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, and this is what I want you all to hear. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what we want from you. That's what this week has been all about, is to offer you an opportunity to know the love of God. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer, then you guys can go back and sit down, and then we'll finish this out. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come before this wonderful group of students and adults that are working in or heading back to school of some form or fashion, we pray for your blessing to be upon them. We are so thankful that your face, your countenance shines upon them. We're thankful that you give them peace. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. And we pray that they would each have a good year at school in whatever capacity they are doing and however they are learning. We ask you, Father, to bless them, not just with knowledge, but to help them to know that Jesus is always with them and is always there for them. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You guys can go back and sit down. So as you think about your book bag, when you think about your laptop, you're going back to school, but you're going back to the world is what you're going. You leave the safety of home, of mom and dad. You leave the comfort of your bedroom that you really like. You leave that which is your security. And oftentimes you have to go out to a place that is less secure inside of you. Maybe you're switching. I talked to some kids yesterday that were going from middle school to high school. And you know, the one girl was saying to me, that's a big jump. You know, I It's been a long time since I've been in middle school to high school. But it's a big jump. I do remember my first day in ninth grade going to high school. I feared every senior because that was a time of hazing back in those days or freshman initiation. I figured my head was going to be in a toilet somewhere. Which they did try, but luckily I had a brother who's a senior, but that's a whole different story. But here's my point. You're going back into either the workforce, you're going back into school. What are you taking with you? Start with this. Take God with you everywhere you go. Put Him in your heart. Never, ever leave without Him. Say a prayer when you're on that bus, walk into school, whatever, before you walk into your first day at work. Just seek God, because He will never leave you. If we can encourage your life, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?